Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Monday, November 20th. New claims of sexual harassment have been brought up at the state capitol involving Republican Senators Randy Baumgardner and Jack Tate. The allegations come after reporting by our state capitol reporter last week led to formal complaints being filed against a Democratic lawmaker in the House. As Benta Berkland reports, both men at the center of the new allegations deny any wrongdoing.
Megan Creedon told us about many uncomfortable encounters she had with Senator Baumgardner during the 2016 legislative session. She was a Capitol intern and 25 at the time. Creedon says even though she didn't know him, he often pressured her to drink with him.
He would just ask me to go grab drinks with him in his office all the time. I was like, oh no, I'm allergic to whiskey, thanks.
In another incident, she heard Baumgardner talking to her colleague about an event that a lot of people had recently attended. He expressed disappointment that he went home alone and not with her.
Something on the lines of, oh, you know, I met your intern at the university club and, you know, she was just so nice. But then I had to leave all by myself and just walk home all by myself and just lay in bed and...
Instead of filing a complaint, Creedon just tried to avoid Baumgardner when she was at the Capitol. Six other female lobbyists and staffers say they too avoid Baumgardner and don't want to be alone with him. Each declined to be named for this story, fearing their work relationships at the Capitol would be impacted. When asked about concerns with his behavior, Baumgardner issued a blanket denial of any allegations.
I have nothing to talk about because I've done nothing wrong and I've done nothing that I should be defending myself for.
Later, through a spokesman, he declined to answer specific questions about the new allegations with Creedon, who says she's considering filing a formal complaint. The other allegation against Senator Jack Tate is from a former intern who was 18 when she says Tate was inappropriate with her. She spoke on the condition of anonymity because she could be part of an unrelated sexual assault case involving a different person. On her first day of work last year, she claimed Tate was in an elevator with her and said, "I really like that skirt you're wearing." She said she didn't object at the time, but grew more uncomfortable over the coming weeks when Tate allegedly leered at her, nudged her, and made comments about her clothes. At one point, she alleged Tate said to her if she wanted to move up in the world to give him a call. The former intern says she didn't know how to address the matter with Tate, but would back away from him when he came close to her. She also tried to avoid him and did tell her supervisor, Sophia Laster, a legislative aide to Representative Daphna Michelson-Janay.
I immediately said, "That's extremely concerning. Will you let me tell Representative Michelson-Janay? Will you tell Representative Michelson-Janay?" And she said, you know, no. And I think she was uncomfortable with that idea. But I don't doubt the validity of her story.
When contacted by phone and text message, Tate didn't address any specific allegations. We gave more details and he issued a general statement saying he wasn't aware of any instance in which he made an individual feel uncomfortable. He added that he's been at the Capitol for 3 years, and during that time, no person has expressed to him or any of his colleagues that he caused discomfort or created distress. Lobbyist Meg DeBray says Tate's been professional in all the years she's worked with him.
Never once has Senator Tate made any inappropriate comments towards me or others in my company.
The intern did eventually go to her boss, Representative Michelson-Janay, on her last day at the Capitol when she quit. She says she feared the complaint process because her name could become public. Michelson-Janay says she urged her to file a formal complaint to no avail.
And she no longer felt safe. This is all of our space to work and do the people's business. And if my own staff isn't safe, I have to do more.
But Michelson-Janay says she didn't go to Tate or others about the story because it wasn't hers to tell, and she wanted to respect the intern's wishes. Complaints about state lawmakers ultimately go through Senate and House leadership. Stuart Minella is a top labor and employment attorney in Washington, D.C. He's also the former chair of the American Bar Association Labor and Employment Section. He says that speaking up, especially in the context of a state legislature where victims report to those in power, is too much to expect in some cases.
Young woman could say to the senator, gee, I'm offended by the way you're looking at me. And probably 9 out of 10 18-year-old women would not feel good about doing that.
Senate President Kevin Grantham issued a statement saying that he takes every allegation of harassment or misconduct seriously, and he urged people to file a formal complaint. He says he will not be responding to unsubstantiated or anonymous allegations against members appearing in the press. I'm Benta Berkland.
Press groups in Denver and throughout the state are watching a case in Washington, D.C. that has charged a photojournalist with multiple felonies. Eric Galatis has more.
Press groups and the photojournalist himself say there are troubling implications to Alexei Wood's trial for multiple felonies. Wood stands charged with 6 felonies and 2 misdemeanors in a D.C. Superior Court. He says the video he shot of rioting during President Donald Trump's inauguration shows he did nothing wrong, but prosecutors are accusing him of rioting just for being there. Wood says that should be troubling to reporters and anyone who believes in a free and aggressive press.
I'm following resistance movements. That is my beat, and I'm really good at it. And that is an absolute legitimate beat, and it's being criminalized.
Wood faces up to 60 years in prison. Prosecutors say he conspired with the rioters and therefore is also to blame for the attacks on police and property destruction committed by others in the group, even if he did not do those things himself. More than 200 people, including half a dozen journalists, were penned in and arrested during the January 20th protests, which were largely peaceful otherwise. All the other journalists and many of the protesters have seen their charges dropped or reduced to misdemeanors. Greg Leslie with the Reporters Committee for Freedom of the Press says it's not at all clear why Wood still is in jeopardy. He says this kind of guilt by association is dangerous.
If you're participating in a march and one person does something illegal and they tie that to all 200 people, that's a truly troubling trend.
Wood also is a new kind of journalist, one delivering raw video to the public without going through a regular news organization. But while Wood says the prosecutors accuse him of advertising anarchy, he feels what he does is the truest form of a free press.
If people want to critique my professionalism, I got no qualms with that. And I live streamed it, and it's out there for the entire world to come to their own conclusion.
Wood estimates his trial may last into December. According to the Committee to Protect Journalists, 31 have been arrested while doing their jobs in the U.S. this year. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Monday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks for listening.